We know we can't fly. So we go down to the Capitol, we arrive at a bus station, which is, like, you can imagine, it's pandemonium. It's like people, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I want to really draw this out here, but, like, there weren't quite people scratching each other's eyes out, but, you know, you felt like you were, like, one or two espressos away from, like, or some homemade booze away from, like, things flying off the rails.
On this episode, we're going to talk about why jumping on a plane for a quick weekend getaway is highly recommended. I mean, it's what makes my website Rudderless Travel so unique. But it's not a good idea if you have an exam the following Monday. How a volcano erupting in one part of the world can ground flights several kilometers away. And how discovering boxed wine on a boat can make the pain of driving 20 hours in a hot, crowded, and cramped, busted-ass bus a distant memory. All right. All aboard, we are just about ready to depart.
You're listening to the Travel Horror Stories Podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
And as always, you can head over to TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com for this and all the previous episodes, their show notes, and links to all the other places you enjoy listening to podcasts. If you're listening via Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment, because that will help more people find the show.
And now live from the Rudderless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here's your host, Christopher Rudder.
The weather outside is cold. It's January. It's to be expected. I mean, it could be worse, but it's not ideal. So dress accordingly. You'll be all right. So, season 2 has been an absolute wild and crazy blast. Lots of great stories and lots of great topics. But this is the final episode of season 2. I'll be taking a little break in February and then returning in March. March 9th, to be exact. So mark that date on your calendar, or just simply join my mailing list over at TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com to be notified of new episodes. In season 3, Noor will be back every 5th episode with more stories inspired from her blog post, Brace Yourself, Travel Isn't All Roses and Lollipops, plus tons more wild and crazy stories that you just don't want to miss. March 9th, 2021, can't wait to have y'all come and hang out with me then. My chief mate for this episode is the one and the only Chris James Mitchell, who was my guest last season, season 1, episode 8, which of course I'll link in the show notes. On that episode, we talked about anxiety and travel and COVID-19. I would like to say that COVID-19 was a thing of the past, but unfortunately it's still very much present, which still sucks. At any given time, my man Chris can have tons of projects on the go, but he's the main man behind Traveling Mitch.
Not sure why there's only one L. That sounds very anti-patriotic. Let me back it up for a second, just to clarify. Canadians spell traveling with two L's, while Americans, they spell traveling with just one L. Chris, how are you? And do you want to explain that? It almost sounds like betrayal in a way.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I should just say, thanks for welcoming me. It's great to be here. You know, it's going to be hard for me on this episode because you have such a perfect podcast/radio voice. So, you know, comparatively, I'm just going to sound terrible. But, you know, I'm here to tough it out with you. So as for the pertinent question, why does it have one L? Well, there's two answers. The first answer involves the fact that I was living in Oslo at the time I created my blog, and I may have been reasonably inebriated when I created the blog. I may have just come back from a apartment party in Oslo, and I was just like, I'm going to start a blog. And then I may have woken up the next day and thought, oh my gosh, there's one L, and rolled with it. then there's the other couple of answers which I could give, which is that I like the branding of it. I keep it all lowercase. I keep it tight together. It looks good, which is true. And then there's the other response, which is that I always had a mind to understand that the crux of my business was going to be based in the U.S. And so seeing that 10 years away, I knew I needed 1L. You choose whichever one you want.
Wait, are we already playing the game?
I'm always playing the game.
Oh my gosh. Okay, all right. So tell us a bit about your blog.
Sure, yeah. So I started the website, as I said, living in Oslo in 2011. And I think for the most part, when I started it off, it was really just really a glorified diary, you know? And I think my parents, my friends were all kind of asking what I was up to. And this was just a really easy way to send them to a particular place and just say, hey, check out what I'm doing there. A lot of those posts are now in draft mode now because, you know, as you'll know, the travel and blogging world has changed. And now I'm trying to write a lot more content that's all about, empowering people and making sure it's not just about my journey, but their journey. Which I think we can all resonate with. But I've had my blog, really since my love of travel blossomed. So, I lived in Korea for a year after that, and I wrote about my time in Korea, and then lived in Turkey, and much the same, just recounting those journeys. And now taking on a different tinge. I think that's the best thing about having your own website is that you get to think about, how you best want to take the next step. It can be both frightening and encouraging, but I think ultimately it's fun to have full creative control for better or worse. And mm-hmm. I think ultimately we just try to make sure that the content we're producing now best represents ourselves at that moment. And I think for now, I'm excited about the stuff I'm writing. I think I'm, hopefully making contribution to this industry. And I think for now, the main thing is I'm trying to sort of battle against a lot of the travel content out there that you can't even tell if the person's been there. I'm trying to make sure that I've shown that when I go to places, I take the time to understand what makes that place tick and to try and communicate that, in my own language in a way that helps people explore it, through my eyes, but ultimately on their own terms.
Yeah, yeah. And your stuff, definitely. I mean, it's deep. You go into detail and I can tell that you've been there you write.
That's all I ask. But I mean, no, that's great to hear. Ultimately that's what you hope for, but, obviously writing, podcasting, whatever, especially in the public domain, I mean, as well as I do that, you're always sort of putting new content out there, trying new ideas. I mean, this podcast, for example, you're trying something new, you're trying to add your own sort of indelible mark on the industry and also just put your own ideas out there. And that can be anxiety inducing, but at the same time, it's a fine line between anxiety and excitement, right? And it's really fun to go out there and create new stuff and ultimately to feel like, you're putting some thought behind the things you're putting into the world. And if they resonate with people, that's great. I think you and I are both really conscious of the reader. We both write to a person. I think both of our newsletters are the same with that, where it's, you're writing to a person, thinking about how you can empower a person, not like to a faceless mass of the internet,
I'm not even going to lie. I saw your newsletter and then I was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to do mine like this. I'm not even gonna lie. Right from when the pop-up thing comes up,
yeah,
I was like, yeah, I just love how Chris did that. I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm sorry.
Cool.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but I was like, yeah, I'm just straight biting him. I'm not even gonna front. Like, no shit.
Well, I love it, man. But I mean, that's my character. That's what I'm about, right? I'm about sharing and growing together. I mean, if anything, that to me is just I take it as a compliment. So that's great, man. I mean, I knew there was a reason I was loving your newsletter more these days.
Wow. Awesome. Now, you also have, I want to quickly just talk about your podcast, because you also have a podcast as well, which was quite awesome. And you got to do some, well, I'll let you explain the podcast, and then, you know, you could add the special thing that happened.
Sure, for sure. Yeah. So I started a podcast, I guess it would have been back in 2018, called Rick Steves Over Brunch. Myself and a travel writer from Sofia, Bulgaria, we're both Rick Steves obsessed. We plan a lot of our travels through Rick Steves Europe. People who are, you know, listening to this or Canadian might not know Rick Steves as well as the American audience, but everyone in the U.S. who's into travel, I think, knows Rick Steves. He's kind of iconic. He's like I don't know, if you're kind of nerdy American relative was really into travel and somehow had an incredible base of knowledge about it. Each episode, we review an episode of Rick Steves Europe to a place we've both been, you know, and we have some fun with it. We rate each episode out of button down shirts because he's always got a button down shirt on. And Rick actually came on for two episodes this year, which was great. He came on for one interview and he actually reviewed one episode. And for the record, he gave his own episode 5.2 button downs out of 5. So that's a true legend move. But you know, it's actually, we thought it was going to be like absurdly niche, but, you know, it turns out, I think we're getting close to 50,000 downloads now. So that's pretty good.
Wow. We'll definitely leave links to all of that stuff in the show notes. But are you down for playing a game?
I'm always down for playing a game.
I know you are. All right, so let's do three stories, two truths, and one lie. So you're going to tell three stories. Two of them are going to be true. One of them is going to be a lie, and I'm going to try to guess where you're lying.
Okay, let's do it. So two truths and one lie. Here we go. So number one, my grandpa is partially responsible for inventing modern day powdered milk. That's number one. Okay. Number two, I have a tattoo in at least three different languages. Okay. And number three, I have visited 55 countries.
Wow. Okay. So again, this is a little unfair. I know what the answer is. I know it's just a lie, but now I'm actually quite shocked about what the truths are. Okay. So I know that you visited more than 50 countries.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So that's the lie. Now you got to explain the other two.
Yeah. So yeah, my grandpa, when he was in World War II, I'm told is you know, milk was spoiling and things like that, and he was partially responsible for developing, you know, what we understand as modern day powdered milk, and he was awarded several medals during the war for that, and that's, I mean, also I'm not, I think you know this, but we have about 450 letters from him to my grandmother during the war, and I'm actually starting on Thursday going through those letters to see if I can turn that into a podcast myself.
That's right. Yeah. So, you did tell us about that. And that's very cool. I can't wait to check that out. That'll be awesome. All right. What would you do if, while studying in Oslo, you decide to fly out to Croatia for the weekend to be back in class by Monday for an exam? Only thing is, somehow, a volcano erupting in Iceland canceled all flights, leaving you grounded. And then the amazing race begins.
Yes, let's paint the appropriate picture here, the full picture. So basically, I was, it was just about exam season, and I'd been living in Oslo for quite a period of time. At that time, I guess it would have been a couple months now, so enough to get really close to my to my roommates. And I'm just going to make it dramatic. One soft winter evening in Oslo, as small snowflakes were falling politely from the sky. No, I'm just kidding. So my buddy John knocks on my door and he's like, "So Chris, I'm thinking about going to Croatia." And I was like, "Cool. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, we travel a lot together." And I was kind of like, "Okay, cool. So, when are you thinking of going?" He's like, "Well, I was thinking about going, I guess it would have been in May." He's like, "I'm thinking about going in May over this weekend." I was like, "Oh man, I can't go. I have an exam that Monday, you know, I got to prepare for that exam." And he's like, "Look, Chris, you're taking English at the University of Oslo, you know, like, I think you're going to be fine." and of course, you know, no slight against the University of Oslo. It was a great, I had some great classes there and some great teachers actually that I really liked. And if you've ever been to Oslo, you know, the Norwegians probably speak better English than most of North America. And anyways, he's like, and honestly, like, you know, you and I both know that you only need to get a certain amount to get the credit for the course, you know, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, all right, fine. What are we doing? He's like, "Well, we're flying into Zagreb, and from there we're going to rent a car, and then we're going to drive down to Dubrovnik. We're going to enjoy ourselves down there. We're going to come back on up to Zadar, and then we'll fly out of Zadar to head back to Oslo." And I was like, "All right, so what time?" He's like, "Well, we'll leave on Friday. We'll come back on Sunday." And I was like, "All right, fine. I'll get back on Sunday night, and then, you know, I can hit my exam up on Monday." Mm-hmm. So everything's going great. We fly into, I guess it was Zagreb, and rent the car. We check out Split, which is a beautiful city. I'm not sure if you have you been to Croatia before?
No, I've been to Croatia before. Gordana, who you've met, my significant other, she's from Croatia. So Zagreb is almost like a second home to me.
Oh, of course. Okay, great. So you'll know it's a beautiful spot. So, yeah, you know,
Split is a fantastic. It's a really beautiful city. Dubrovnik, everyone's going there mainly because of Game of Thrones, but Split is another little gem in Croatia for sure.
Yeah, it is. And if you're interested in Roman history and things like that, Split is,
yes, that's right,
fantastic. They have some really incredible ruins there, and I'm always a big fan of cities that the ruins sort of naturally integrate with the city. And that's kind of what I felt Split was all about. And I also, this is a side note, I can't help but talk about travel. But you know, Dubrovnik at that time was really busy already.
Yeah, it was, that's right.
And I can't imagine what it's like after Game of Thrones, but
I was in Dubrovnik before Game of Thrones. And I till this day, I wish that we maybe, you know, bought some property or something. but yeah, I was there before Game of Thrones, and you're right. It was already crazy.
Yeah, because of the cruise ship
that's right,
port there. Yes. Like, so I guess my advice for people to go into Dubrovnik would be go off season and get up really early, check it out before the cruise ships, and kind of stay up late when the cruise ships are gone.
That's right, yes.
So anyways, we have this little car, and this car is like so small and dinky. It's like we got like the smallest option. There's like five of us in there. I'm not a small man. you know, we're like cruising down. We go in through Bosnia. We finally get down to Dubrovnik. We have a great time down there. You know, I was super happy. We were celebrating his birthday down there. By the time we got down there, he's still a good friend of mine. I saw him in New York last week. He was in my wedding party. So obviously, good call. I don't even remember what grade I got in the exam. But but I do remember his friendship. So anyways, the trouble sort of begins when we're driving back up towards Zadar to go to the airport. And we start to hear rumors that a volcano has erupted, and it's one of those volcanoes in Iceland that has, you know, 64 syllables and a whole ton of vowels, and you're just like, I don't know how to possibly pronounce this. Eyjafjallajökull. My Icelandic is not great.
No, there is mine.
yeah, but So I'm like, okay, well, we should be fine, you know. Until we arrive in Sadar, I check email, and there's a notice from Ryanair. At that time, I was still comfortable flying Ryanair, even though they're just a horrific airline. I mean, you want to talk about travel horror stories? How about every single time you fly Ryanair?
I was just gonna say that's a whole other episode right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like the worst part about Ryanair is you get on the flight. I mean, I can only speak to Ryanair like from 8 years ago, but you get on the flight and then they just barrage you for an hour. They're like, have you bought lottery tickets? Like, and then it's just like, how about hot, like the selection of hot and cold beverages? And it's like, please leave me alone. It's like, it's so loud that it's over your headphones. Like it's
upselling.
Yeah. Non-stop. I wouldn't be surprised now if they're like, do you like socks? We have Ryanair socks. Like it's out of control. So anyways, this eruption, it turns out all of a sudden, you know, from Ryanair, it affected commercial jet traffic from 20 countries. So we're kind of like, well, are we okay? You know, we're down in Croatia, like we're a little bit far away from Iceland. Like maybe we'll escape unscathed, but no, it starts to get worse. We find out basically, I think there was something like 10 million travelers affected.
Really? Is it because of the smoke that
called
plume or whatever, that black stuff that goes in the air? I guess the planes can't see through that, I would imagine.
Right. So like the ash, it's like a few things. There's like the ash cloud that affects, I don't know, something to do with flying. It's like, I don't even, there's some like volcanic explosivity index and it just like, it went off. It went off the rails, but it's interesting because, this is a little fun fact, but this event, this eruption, basically it created the highest level of like air travel had not been disrupted so much since the Second World War.
Holy smokes.
So,
wow.
This is a legit, like this is a huge event. So when this starts to come to light, that it's not like, haha, like volcano in, you know, like a volcano that has 20 letters in its name in Iceland has erupted. It was like, this is a serious problem. Now, normally, I wouldn't care, really. I'd be like, well, you know, if I can just park myself in Croatia, like, it's not like there was a volcanic plume over Croatia. You know, it was just that I had to get back to Oslo, so I couldn't fly over there. So normally, that would be fine. However, the exam.
Right.
The exam on Monday. So I believe we got this information that, that you know, things were going to be sent into a tailspin, no pun intended.
So this is Sunday now, right? Because you're trying to get back.
So I guess it – no, this would have been – so this would have been – I had left. We chose to leave a couple days early. I just took off on, like, I think a Wednesday or Thursday, actually. And so we were scheduled to fly back on Sunday. But we figured out that we weren't going to be able to fly on Saturday.
Okay.
So Saturday comes around. And this is a problem because I have the exam on Monday. And I'm like, well, how the hell am I going to get back to Oslo to take this exam? You know, I'm like, if I don't get this credit, I'm screwed. I my entire time abroad is going to be like a failure because I didn't get this English credit because I missed the exam from a volcano. So I'm in panic mode at this point. And then
and it might not sound as serious, but all I gotta say is like think Pompeii, right?
Oh,
like
I know. That
volcano like leveled an entire civilization.
Right. But I'm always fascinated by Pompeii because like I always like I think when I was a kid I kind of thought like, well, why didn't you just outrun it? You know what I mean? Because I was like, it seems like one of those situations you're like, and then it just like takes you over. Like, but it turns out when it comes, you know, what you don't necessarily consider is that when it rolls down a mountain, I think it can get up to like 40K an hour. It's something, I don't know exactly what it was, but I realized that Pompeii was like, you know, there's a certain extent where you're not going to outrun that unless you figure out how to run the
Kachina. But it's also very, I mean, it then makes sense why people might not want to fly their planes through that.
Right. And I think actually at that point, it was legislated by like a big governing body. Like, you cannot,
right.
You can't, like, you can't fly your planes even if you wanted to.
Right.
So anyway, so we know we can't fly, and so we catch a bus down from Zadar to Zagreb. We figure whatever solution there is, it's going to be in the capital. So we go down to the capital, and we arrive at a bus station, which is, like, you can imagine, it's pandemonium. There's, like, people, like, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I want to really draw this out here, but, like, there weren't quite people scratching each other's eyes out, but, you know, you felt like you were, like, one or two espressos away from, like, or you know, some homemade booze away from, like, things flying off the rails. So I'm, like, at this time, just wearing, like, a big dumpy Canada, like, sweater, just like, oh, God, like, I need to get... Like, I'm trying to communicate, like, I need to get back to Oslo. And everyone's looking at me just like, well, I thought I was screwed. You're screwed. I mean, how are you going to get back to Norway? So eventually we sort of, like, give up. And I'm sitting out front of this bus station. And there's, like, a little bus that says it's, like, basically rolling through to Germany. And I was like, all right, well, Germany's closer, whatever. We hop on this, like, little horrible bus, and this little horrible bus, just, like, it was so small, it stopped at the most questionable stations. I was like, I thought it was I was basically like a drug mule for a bit, I think. I don't know. I don't even know what was going on, but all I know is, like, it was horribly hot. Like, it was reasonably warm out. I mean, you started this episode by talking about it being reasonably warm, like a decent day. Like, it was a pretty nice day out, and yet we had the heat blasting. I was like, I was going to, like, be sick. I was like, this is the worst. So,
oh my gosh,
we roll through Austria. We roll through, I think, a bit of the Czech Republic, and then we end up somewhere near, I don't know. I just remember it sounded like my buddy's Kyle's name. Maybe it was like Kyle Germany. I don't know. I've never been there before. I don't know what the hell is going on. So, like, we're dropped off at the side of the road, and I'm kind of just like, all right, so, like, where do I? So the next logical step is to get to Denmark, because I feel like if I can get to Denmark, I can hop on a ferry, because I know that there's a ferry that I took from Oslo to Copenhagen, which I called the Copenwagon. And
Copenwagon.
So I was trying to figure out if I could get back on the
Copen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was trying to figure out if I could get back on the Copenwagon. So anyways, we get to this, like, small town of, like, I think it was called Kyle or Kell, Germany. And it's like a side of a road. And I'm just like, there's another bus which looks like it might be going towards where we're going. Basically the bus said Malmo, Sweden. So I was like, all right, well, for sure from Malmo, Sweden, I can get to Oslo. It's just about whether I can get there in time. So,
well, okay, but wait a minute. I mean, but you're on a bus and you're in Germany. So if the bus, you still got to cross water, because...
Yes, exactly.
Stockholm is like, yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, so we're right, we're figuring out how the heck to do this. So basically we're like, my assumption at that time is that if the bus says Malmo, that, you know, unless it's a magical bus that can fly, you know, we're going to figure this one out. So anyways, I hop on this bus with two other friends. The bus is a little less warm, you know, but, like, in a good way. And we eventually arrive at water. So I'm like, all right, this is a good sign. Like, I think we're closer. We might be in Denmark. I think we're in Denmark. And this giant boat arrives, and I'm like, sweet, hopping on the boat. It's going to take us to Malmo. Okay, beautiful. So this bus, I think, or this whatever, at this point, I should also keep you in mind of timing here. At this point, we've been traveling for over 20 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So at this point, we're getting on the boat. It's like we're 20 hours into it. Keep in mind, all the buses have gone bananas, right? Because they're all packed, because everyone's trying to get where they're going. So we get on this boat, which is heading towards Malmo. We're like, okay, great, fantastic. This is, of course, is when I figure out that there's a you know, a place where there's booze on board. And I'm like, enough's enough already. So I make the choice of, you know, of course, you know, boxed wine, right? Uh-huh. Well, I found boxed vodka.
Oh, stop.
Which was three liters.
Oh, stop.
And I forget what it was called. I think it was called, like, I think it might have been named after the former president, Boris Yeltsin.
Wow.
But it was cheap. And so, like, I remember I had an orange bandana on and an old Canada sweater. And I arrived with my two buddies who were, like, sitting near the side of the ship trying to get some, like, air because we'd been basically in moving sardine cans for the past 20 hours. And I'm like, guys, I got boxed vodka.
Nice.
So that made that boat trip very pleasant because we were drinking boxed vodka the entire way. So we finally get to Malmo. And of course, at this time, I think it's 4 p.m. the day before the exam.
Oh, gosh.
So now we need to worry about sobering up as well. because I got to get in game shape to get, you know, get prepared for the exam. So, we basically, of course, we get to Malmo and we're like, we need to get to Oslo. And thankfully, you know, of course, there are plenty of buses running from Malmo to Oslo. We hop on that final bus and we arrive, I think we went from Malmo to Gothenburg, stopped in Gothenburg, and then Gothenburg up to Oslo. And I pulled into Oslo after 40 hours at midnight, and my exam was at 8 a.m. the next morning.
Oh my gosh.
So that is my tale.
Holy smokes. Okay, so the ultimate question is, did you pass the exam?
I sure did.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So thank you for sharing that.
This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. Visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's break this down.
How do we unpack the story? So the obvious thing is, you know, maybe don't leave if you have a test on Monday, but what do you think you would have done differently or could have done differently? I mean, you can't control the volcano.
Yeah. So this is the thing. I think, you know, probably nowadays there's more travel advisories and things like that going around where I might have understood, you know, that this volcano was probably, you know, maybe the volcano was supposed to erupt that day. And I was like, you know, maybe I could have checked that a little bit more. I think ultimately, you know, I've always been a really big believer that, like, the difference between a good story and a really bad story, you know, are it's pretty slim. And I think, you know, I can't help but turn everything into some sort of profound lesson. But I think ultimately, for me, I think that the major thing was that, I understood that at that time, I think writing a blog, to be honest with you, I guess I would have started in 2010 was when I started, because that's when I was living there. Writing a blog helped me realize that sometimes there's really great stories that we can take part in that where things don't go right, you know? And I think like, obviously there are going to be some cases on your podcast here where it's like, you know, you don't want to live that in any way, shape or form. But I think like ultimately for me, it was a reminder of a number of things. One, that I had a sense, you know, from the very beginning that things were going to work out, you know, I think that's largely because I believe that this was an adventure. And I felt like, yeah, the stakes were high, but I also felt like, it was going to work. You know, I felt like even if it was this kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off sort of thing where I just kind of thought to myself, like, this is going to be, you know, either I'm going to arrive at 7:45 in Oslo and make the exam or, you know, I'm not, but I think ultimately it's going to be an adventure getting there. And you know, I'm not sure I had a sense that 10 years later I'd be talking about it on a podcast, but I knew that, like, I traveled enough to know that things don't always go right, but there's always something to learn. And I had a lot of fun with it. Of course, like, there are moments where you're sitting in the back of a bus and you're like, get me, I don't know that I'm going to get back. Like, this could be really problematic. Like, yeah. What if this affects my degree or whatever? But I think you know me well enough to know that I'm generally an optimistic person, and I have some respect for fate. I mean, sometimes things have worked out for me that I just really shouldn't have, you know, they just have. And I feel like even when I was 19, 20 years old back then, I had that sense that like the stars were going to align, you know, it was going to be okay one way or the other. And that was kind of that, you know, that's kind of where I left it.
You know, I really like that way of looking at it because I really feel that, you know what, it's pretty much just saying shite's going to happen no matter what. So it all depends on how you choose to view that experience. Are you going to view it as, you know, this is horrible? Or are you going to take that and then take the story from that? And, you know, maybe you will never want to do that again, but you know, it's a story to tell at the end of the day. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, so I kind of wanted to tell this story cause I just thought it was fun and unique and stuff like that. And I figured like I was close to talking about, I have a little memoir of a time when I was teaching in a small town in Nicaragua and I got really, really sick. I was a 45 minute boat ride away from the nearest city, which had any medical attention. So like things were looking bad for a little bit, but this amazing woman, named Miss Ingrid, who was taking care of me. She just fed me coconut water and nursed me back to health over a 3-day period, you know? And it's like
sounds like a movie.
Yeah, I know, man. So like I'm gonna write a memoir about that or something. And then, you know, I was thinking when coming on the show that I was gonna tell that story, but I think that I think you're gonna have enough like I was sick abroad stories. You know what I mean? So I'm like I'm trying to tell something different. I'm gonna guess and go on a limb that no one else is gonna come out here and talk about almost missing an exam while studying abroad because the volcano went off.
It's a good call on your part, but. You know what? Everyone's sick story is even different.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's still interesting either way. And as I told Kevin, because Kevin, as you guys, the listeners, will remember, he had another horror story. So I'm going to tell you the same thing I told to him. And you guys are definitely welcome to come back again on another episode and tell that story.
You know, I've been to 80 countries, right? I mean, that's, I guess, kind of why you knew it wasn't 55. And I think part of the reason I'm so attracted to travel is because of the uncertainty. And that's why I really can't stand some of this, you know, some of the ways I'm seeing some people travel kind of like people are so worried about things not going wrong that they're not even really giving themselves a chance for things to go naturally right. You know, that's like, it's like a cookie cutter, you know, boxed lunch, you know, sometimes I travel somewhere and it's like, people are like walking around with 1,000 power bars and they're like, yeah, well, like, you know, I just like, I can't eat any of the local food or whatever. Like, I don't like, I'm not going to eat the fruit. And it's like, man, you're on an island. Like, you don't think you should try the mango? You know what I mean? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, and, you know, like I've been mercilessly sick in India and I've been sick in all these places, but it's like, in my mind, like I accepted that I might be sick for one day so I could eat lavishly for 25. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's a very good point. And I could pretty much guarantee you that as people who travel as much as we do, absolutely nothing's going to go right. So yeah, you're right. It's about just looking at it from a different lens. And I think I'm glad that you brought that here today. And quite honestly, I knew that you'd be the one to do that. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. It's enlightening, and I knew that you would make it enlightening. That's why I had to have you on, because only you seem to be able to do that so well, is to take these things and make them so positive and actually make you feel good about what you're doing. And you're just genuine at doing it, and I absolutely love that. So where can people read your stuff and find more about you, social media handles and all that, in your website?
Yeah. So, well, firstly, thanks. I appreciate that. And I think I do try and put a positive tinge on everything, but I think ultimately, I don't think it's out of the question to be able to take a positive lesson or something like that out of a negative experience. And I think, you know, for the most part, it's only when, when a stick goes in our spokes that we learn how to fix the wheel, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's these things are important to remember that, like I can't think of too many lessons from my life that have come from when things were going perfectly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's always important to remember. But, yeah, I mean, to if anyone else wants more of this thoughtful positivity, they can hit up travelingmitch.com, 1L, you know why. And you can find me on all the media that's social. I've got some other projects in the work, one of which is a niche Ontario blog called ultimateontario.com. And I got an Instagram account for that. Honestly, you can just shoot me an email at chris@travelingmitch.com, 1L, of course. If you want to reach out to me, I'm a reasonably approachable guy. And I'll just say I really appreciate you having me on. I mean, I think you, you've got a great voice for podcasting, for all you do. I think this is a cool project. It's something fun that I didn't find elsewhere, and I love this kind of stuff. So
awesome, thank you, man.
You know, I will firmly support you in everything you do. So it's a great pleasure to be on here with you, man.
Awesome, you're the best. All right, case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to the show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and its episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. Cheers.